You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreckit Magazine.
This is episode 6 of the MemoCast, and here we are once again in my car in front of Michael's house because we are recording on the road. And so he's actually here for once. You can hear him.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, so he showed up. He's not sick or tired or fighting dragons, which is what I said on the internet, that he's fighting dragons.
I actually want to start off the episode this week with giving a huge shout-out to Glynis for filling in for me last week while I was on my spirit journey.
Yeah, she's a lot easier on the eyes.
Yes, indeed. So, if you guys have a chance, go on Twitter and follow her shop, CB underscore
hideout. Is there underscore?
Yeah, it's CB underscore hideout. Go ahead and follow her shop. She is an absolute peach, and thank you once again, Glynis, for filling in for me.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to the episode, you should. It deviates a little bit from the norm because I interviewed her in regards to a lot of the different projects she works on, outside of her store, mainly that, which is a program she uses to teach kids how to make comics, and she's been doing it with a lot of, like, at-risk youth. So it's a really interesting episode to listen to. So go back, it's episode 5, Return of the Ellipses. And so we're going to start things off with a quick segment of newsworthy notes. And so the big one for me, which is what I'm kicking off with, is Vincent D'Onofrio, who you may know from Men in Black and from Law and Order. I think Criminal Intent?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been announced that he is the kingpin for the new Daredevil series that's currently still in production for Netflix.
What?
So, yeah.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio is kingpin, which I can actually really see. And then we have I already forgot his name. Charlie Cox is our Daredevil. So we have our two, our main leads, our main good guy, our main bad guy, and we'll see the rest fleshed out.
So wait. Private Pyle and Thor from Adventures in Babysitting
are
playing Kingpin. All right, sweet.
You know what's funny is that when the Mary Sue announced this, they had his picture from Adventures in Babysitting as like the main thing, which I thought was hilarious.
That's awesome.
Okay, yeah. So that'll be really awesome. And next thing is The Walking Dead, or rather Universal Studios, announced that The Walking Dead is coming back for, I believe, its fourth straight year at Halloween Horror Nights.
Nice.
And that they are going to go bigger and better than the year before. And one of the bigger things that they were saying was that this attraction is going to feature the most characters.
Okay.
So what I mean by characters, like the most, like, people, like, Dressed up.
Yeah.
So, because they're going to have a bunch of walkers.
Well, I think that's the only way zombies are scary, is in large groups, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, they're working with, I forget the executive producer, Frank Nicotero, Greg Nicotero. I just know his last name is Nicotero.
Yeah.
And so, they're working with him to really make iconic scenes and moments from the show come to life.
All right.
So, if you've been watching the show, you're like, oh, wow, like, I remember this scene, I remember that scene, I remember these little moments. So they really want to make it as true to the show as possible for all the people who watch it.
Right on.
And so I hear there's going to be something like a road to Terminus and all these other things.
Hmm.
So it should be nuts.
Yeah.
They have yet to fail with it. And it's going to be at both parks, so it's something really exciting to look at. And speaking of Universal Studios and movie-related stuff and things you view with the eyes, which is everything.
Master of the Segway, Armando Olivas.
I'm more of a baron. the trailer for Dumb and Dumber 2 finally came out this week. And Mike hasn't seen it. I saw it. And I want to say, the first 15, 20 seconds, I really wasn't sold on it. But as they did, I think Harry tries to pull Lloyd's catheter out, on his own, is when it really, kicked in and was like, all right, this could be really good.
Yeah.
It looks really good. I'm hoping it's really good. I'm hoping it's not, an Anchorman 2 situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Anchorman 2 sucked.
Very wary of sequels.
I am not wary of sequels. If they can make a good sequel, which, some people can, some people can't, I don't mind them.
All right.
Captain America 2 is infinitely better than the first one.
This is true.
Yeah, so like I said, I have no problem with sequels, or continuations, or even prequels, as long as they're done right. Like, if you're just trying to seize on a cash cow, then you're wasting everybody's time.
Yeah. Expendables 3, we're looking at you.
No, I'm actually really excited for that.
Well, I am. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, you can look at all you want. Harrison Ford's going to punch you in the jaw. He'll punch you in the jaw from his wheelchair.
And I will go down with honor.
You'll just go down. He's Harrison fucking Ford, and if he doesn't take you out, everybody else will. All right, and then speaking of sequels, is some images from Jurassic World finally showed up, and one of them was Chris Pratt looking sexy on a motorcycle.
Dude, that I was like, I'm a straight man, but damn, Chris Pratt on that motorcycle.
And that little slit in the little neck was what really sold it to me. I was like, damn, boy.
Somebody get me a window seat, because this flower is wilting.
Okay, Bobby. All right. But so, we don't really have much to go off of from that, other than that it looks like it's shaping up to be interesting, you know?
Of course, they have kids who aren't going to die in spite of getting themselves into crazy situations.
We're going to outsmart a bunch of velociraptors. We're going to be stronger than velociraptors holding a door down.
Yep.
Yeah, but it'll be nice to see what hijinks they get into.
Mm-hmm.
And with that... we were going to talk about this last week, but he wasn't here, so we pushed it back a week. And Mike is going to talk to you about Dungeons & Dragons, and I'll chime in with stupid commentary here and there.
All right, so this week, Wizards of the Coast, their Dungeons & Dragons branch.
Was it this week, or was it the week before?
I think it was last weekend, actually.
Okay.
They went ahead and did a live stream on Twitch where some of the creative directors of the next edition of Dungeons & Dragons sat down and answered questions from the viewers. And it was actually really cool. They got into some technical stuff. They explained some things. It was mostly about the starter set and the D&D basic rule set. And what it looks like they're going to do is they're going to release the starter set in July. And at one of the major cons in July. I forget which one of the major ones they're going to release it at.
San Diego Comic-Con?
No, it's not Comic-Con.
Well, I don't know what other major ones are going on in July.
But anyways, they're going to release it around July, and then they're going to release D&D Basic. And D&D Basic is basically going to be a free rule set that I believe they're going to release online that you're not going to have to pay for. And it's essentially going to be like Dungeons & Dragons Lite, basically just the lightest rules you need to run a game of Dungeons & Dragons. And you can use those rules to carry all your characters from the starter set up to level like 5, I believe. And the starter set should, like, run you through levels 1 through 3, they said. And there's pre-generated characters, and there's only 4 races in the starter set. There's only humans, gnomes, dwarves, and elves.
I was about to say, if no elves, no deal.
So, yeah, they released all this information. It was pretty cool. Even another one of the creative directors was tweeting, and he came out and said that they're going to be Thakos in the next edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
Did you just pronounce tacos?
Really no, weird? No. So, for those of you who have come in like at the version 3.5 or later, Thaco was a statistic, a hidden statistic, back in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and the editions before that. And it essentially stands for to hit armor class 0. And it was a really interesting mechanic that was in the video games Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate Shadows of Am. I believe Icewind Dale had it. And it's based off of the old rule set, which is a little bit more archaic and a little bit harder to get into. But one of the things they were really concerned about is really lowering the barrier for entry for people to get into Dungeons & Dragons. That there are a lot of... One of the things they were concerned about is there's so many potential players out there, people who really want to get into it, but just don't know how. Or they told an anecdotal story about a guy who they got to sit down and play, and he spent 90 minutes sitting there creating a character. And then they got 30 minutes into the session and his character died. And he didn't want to sit there for another 90 minutes creating another character. He said, I love the game. I loved playing it. But I'm not going to if I have to sit here for another hour and a half creating another character.
Yeah.
So they really want to lower that barrier to entry and really make it so that you can just grab a pre-generated character sheet, you know, throw it down and say, okay, you're Ragnar, the, you know, dwarven barbarian.
Ragnar!
Exactly.
And Mistrogdor.
Yeah. Just jump right into it. So I think that's really cool. It's really admirable. And then one of the things they also addressed in their live stream is the kind of schism that 4.0 created within the Dungeons & Dragons community. And that 4.0 really alienated a lot of the hardcore players that grew up on 3.5. And that a lot of them went to Pathfinder, which is kind of like 3.5, but we fixed all the shit that was wrong with it. And they really want to bring all those people back.
Yeah.
So one of the goals they had with the starter set was being able to, as a dungeon master like me, being able to pick it up, read it for half an hour while your, you know, players are creating their characters or reading about their pre-generated characters, and jump right into running the session. Okay. I know our friends from Nerdcendence kind of laughed at me when we were at Long Beach Comic Expo, when I was saying, yeah, like, we're totally gonna do this thing where we play Dungeons and Dragons, and he was like, oh, you kind soul, like, yeah. Patting me on the knee, like, oh, you have no idea what you're getting into. Yeah. But I was thinking, and Mondo and I've talked about this, that once the starter box comes out, we might do a special episode of this podcast in which I run a session using the starter box.
I'll be drunk the entire episode.
Yeah, so we're going to get some people together. I'm thinking we're going to try and get people who have never played the game before, people who are longtime vets, people who have casually played like Mondo, and kind of sit us all around the table, a session.
And get them all drunk.
Yeah, there's going to be alcohol involved. It might be like the drunk special.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, so yeah, you guys are going to be able to
get
to hear us.
You're going to have to be drunk to listen to 90 minutes of this bullshit.
So pessimistic.
I'm just wrestling you, Jimmy.
So yeah, that's I think that's going to be a great episode. It'll come out sometime in July, depending on how long it takes me to get my hands on the starter box.
Let's just say August to be safe. Yeah. July's going to be a busy month.
It is. It definitely is. Well, should we tie in our other announcement?
Yeah, you can do it.
So speaking of July and things going on in July, we are going to be at AnimeX. As soon as we get business cards.
It's funny how that's a requirement. Like, they just, like, you can come, you just have a business card.
Yeah, so we're going to get business cards, and we're going to go to AnimeX as press. So if you guys are going to AnimeX, hopefully by that time, I'm going to get us t-shirts made. Hopefully.
Yes.
We're going to have t-shirts so that when we're out on the floor hanging out, walking around, we might have giveaways like we did at Long Beach Comic Expo. But nobody showed up. We ended up giving one of our Rocket Raccoons to Paige.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, thanks for interviewing with us.
Yeah, we might have another giveaway, and I feel like this one will go really quick, is got another pop toy pulling out from the bag. I got this Harley Quinn that everybody seems to be all about.
Is this the one with the mallet?
No, it's the one from Arkham.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the new one. It just came out like the other day.
That's nice.
Yeah, so this is it's part of a set. The other characters, Batman and Joker, obviously, Poison Ivy, and then Killer Croc, who's supposed to be like twice the size. So maybe if you're nice, we'll give it out to you.
Yeah.
We'll
so, see. AnimeX, we are going to be there hopefully for every day.
Probably
except for Friday.
Probably not. We'll figure it out. Yeah. It's going to be interesting because I feel like I could probably at most only go 2 days, but I feel like the way we'll have it covered is that the podcast in itself will be there all 4 days. We just might not all be there the same day.
If we're walking around the floor of AnimeX or we're walking around the convention center, feel free to come hang out with us. We'd love to meet some of the people that listen.
Yeah. All 12 of you.
All 12 of you, yeah. So, on to the next item on our agenda.
Yeah, which we'll do this, then we'll go into a break. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot. I want to give you a little chance to really relax from us boring you. So, the news broke of a rumor, so take this with a grain of salt, it could totally be true, it could totally be fake, but, so it looks like DC has, like, an outline plan for their cinematic universe that they're trying to create. Yeah. And so, in it are plans for a Wonder Woman movie, a Shazam movie, the already announced Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, a Justice League movie, a Flash Green Lantern team up,
which I thought was very interesting because we mentioned in like one of our first episodes when we were trying to make our own like DC Cinematic Universe movie sets.
I told you they put Flash and Green Lantern.
Yeah, you were the one who suggested Flash and Green Lantern to have a team up movie.
Yeah,
and that it happened. So you know what? No, we broke this story before anyone else did.
I'm pretty sure everyone who's read enough DC comics broke this story before.
That's true.
But it's just kind of funny how I was like, oh, you know, let's pitch that idea, and then it all of a sudden becomes a thing. You know what? There's a couple things that I want to talk about this. The first one is, it's interesting that the what was supposed to be a Man of Steel sequel, according to this, is no longer a Man of Steel sequel.
Yeah.
It's a Batman Superman movie. You know, which means like the Man of Steel sequel is being pushed back, which I feel is the best news. Even if part of it ends up not being true, if that part at least stays true, it'll be the best news ever, because I feel like with the Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, it's going to be too overloaded. It's not going to be a proper Superman sequel. So knowing that they're two separate movies is really good for the character of Superman.
Yes, I agree with this.
Yeah, because I was like, he's going to become like fifth fiddle in his own movie? Not even second. Fifth.
Yeah. You got Wonder Woman, Cyborg, all these other characters showing up at the end, so...
Yeah, and not only that, but they announced the how possibly Aquaman's going to be involved.
Okay.
They're talking about how Jason Momoa of Game of Thrones is tentatively cast as Aquaman. And so for those of you who don't know that, or who are thinking, well, Jason Momoa, there's so many Game of Thrones characters. Who's that? That's Khal Drogo.
Yeah. Big dude.
Very big guy. Big guy.
Yeah.
So part of it is, I guess, his role would be in Superman, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. I hate this title already.
We'll just call it Dawn of Justice.
We'll just call it BDOJ.
BDOJ.
BSDOJ. So yeah, for BSDOJ, I guess Aquaman, played by Jason Momoa, comes up and he's like, oh, the Indian Ocean got fucked up because of Zod. What the fuck's this shit?
Oh, okay. That actually kind of makes sense for him to be there.
Yeah.
I noticed that they didn't announce an Aquaman singular movie.
They're smart.
It's true. Because whenever I think of Aquaman, I think of that Robot Chicken sketch where, like, yeah, the real world with all the comic book characters. Yeah. And he's, like, trying to talk to the fishes.
Well, it's not even just that. I think the best part was, like, Superman's like a dick and he keeps leaving everything dirty. And he's, yeah, like, yeah, you have to clean up after yourself. It's like, I was busy stopping a meteor. What are you going to do?
Yeah. He steals his sandwich.
You're just such a dick. But, yeah, so... You know, on top of that, though, I have to say, if this schedule holds true, they're finally fucking making a Wonder Woman movie, which...
Thank the stars.
We don't even know if it's true yet. This could just be totally fake.
This is true, yeah. This is all conjecture, so we have no idea if this is all true, or if DC is suddenly scrambling, going, oh my god, this is brilliant!
Well, I don't know if it's scrambling, because the first of these movies doesn't come out until, what, 2016?
2015.
2015. Yeah, 2015. So, I mean...
That's next year, so...
Yeah, so, like, they're giving themselves time to at least make this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The order seems a bit off to me. Also, there's a Sandman movie listed in there.
There was a Sandman movie.
Which is funny, because...
It was JGL was helming that movie.
Joseph Gordon... Well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's been... When you say JGL, I was like, what? Oh, no, but yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has, he's been attached to that project for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was supposed to work on something Marvel, but then DC was like, look at the Sandman.
Yeah.
All he does is, the Sandman.
Sandman. What are they, Adam Sandler?
Sandman. Oh, Adam Sandler. So yeah. We'll see if this ends up being true. If it is, this is actually a really good plan for the DC Cinematic Universe to actually be a thing and mm-hmm. to get off its ass and be successful. You know, people might say, hey, that they're jockeying Marvel's thing. But, I mean, like, really, at the end of the day, like, when you're making a universe, you want there to be some kind of plan and cohesion. So
this is true.
You know, if anything, like, what is it? Was imitation is the sincerest form of flattery?
Yes, indeed.
There you go. You know, DC knows they have that Marvel's a good thing going. Why not just follow suit?
Yep.
And at the end of the day, they still kick ass doing those one shot animated movies, yeah, which Marvel has yet to touch them on. So everyone's got something.
Yeah.
And so with that, we're here at a musical break because we've really honestly just been rambling, and I feel like even we are just like, this conversation is kind of floundering.
Yeah.
So we're going to play two songs and maybe a little interesting ditty. Also, a word from our sponsors of Baker's.
Good food, close to home.
Isn't it great food close to home? Why the fuck would they just settle it being good?
I don't know. It's not on the cup.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's great. Great food. Great food. I misspoke.
We've already lost the sponsorship that we don't have because of you. So we're going to play a song by Intuit Over It and a song by Hostage Calm. And then we'll be right back talking about more things. We're going to be doing a little bit of E3 discussion. I was going to say E3s.
E3s.
E3 discussion.
E to the third power.
Yes.
All right. Bye, guys.
thing that's real is me and the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me.
Is it true that I'll never put a ring on you? Oh no, you're abused. But is that the good he's done to you? Oh no, it's a sad time to be young. Now in the rest has just begun.
Welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed those two songs. I know I didn't because I didn't listen to them.
Because he won't be able to listen to them until this episode is up, and that won't be... Well, technically, it's... We're recording this Sunday, so yeah. When you listen to it, it'll be Monday or later, and the point is he hasn't heard them yet.
Yep, so through the magic of post-production. But if you didn't like those songs, you can go ahead and blame Mondo, because he picks all of our music.
Yeah.
This segment of the podcast is dedicated to the recently passed E3. E3 was this last week.
E3!
And the first thing we wanted to talk about was the huge reveal Nintendo did with Super Smash Bros.
Yes.
Which is a game that we thoroughly enjoyed growing up. We've had plenty of Super Smash Bros. Tournaments when we were in high school and stuff.
I mean, not even just high school, like today, to this date.
Melee came out. Was it Melee or Brawl came out when we were in high school?
Which one came first, Brawl?
It was Brawl.
It was Melee and then Brawl.
Yeah, okay.
Melee came out during high school and Brawl came a little bit after.
Well, we were sitting in school while E3 was going on because school hadn't gotten out yet. Or we were there for like summer school or something.
Yeah.
And I remember we watched the trailer for it.
Yeah.
As E3 was revealing it. And holy crap, I got goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that because we were all huddled around, I think, like Brian's laptop.
Yeah.
and we were all huddled around watching it. And at the end, as we get closed out, you know, after like Wario does the big fart,
yeah.
And we were like, oh my god, they added Zero Suit Samus and Wario. Oh, that's gonna be so crazy. And then just like the codec sound from Metal Gear Solid plays, and we all just froze and went, no fucking way.
But how long ago did the last Super Smash Brothers come out then?
2006, I think.
Dude, really? I feel like it's been 7 years?
Yeah, man, it's been a long time.
I feel like I have to fact check that. I feel like it's been sooner than that. We don't have time with this for cell reception being as bad as it is here. But the point is, there's a new one coming out, whether it's been 7 years or not.
Mm-hmm.
The more I think about it, 7 years does seem realistic.
Yeah.
And they've put a lot of work into it, and so they revealed a lot of things about the game. One of the big things they had there was it was a demonstration where you could play the game. And they had an invitational tournament, and it was only like 20 characters that were selectable, which is not even the full roster.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how big the roster is going to be.
They have 3 Pokemon on the roster now.
Yeah.
Revealed.
Was it Greninja?
Greninja, Charizard, and I am super excited for Lucario coming back.
Yeah, but is on top of Pikachu and Jigglypuff?
Is Jigglypuff coming back?
Probably. Probably not. Who knows?
Yeah, because I don't know.
Jigglypuff's been in every single incarnation. I feel like it would be weird to just not have her at this point.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But they have a lot of Pokemon on the roster now, so.
I feel like it's too much.
They just need to make the Pokemon battling game.
Yeah. They need to make like a Pokemon like brawl game.
Yeah, no, that'd be totally cool.
You know, make it similar to like Super Smash Brothers, but just have it be a bunch of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Or have a Pokemon RPG like Mystery Dungeon, but more geared towards like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Charmander wearing like a black mage outfit.
Yeah.
And carrying a little scepter.
But it only casts fire spells.
Yeah, well, you know.
That'd be kind of funny though. but the big, for me at least, reveal was that Pac-Man's gonna be in the game.
Yeah. Tumblr blew up with Wreck-It Ralph memes.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the big reveal of Pac-Man, and it's at Wreck-It Ralph, like, sitting in the train car holding up the Coke bottles, and goes, they invited Pac-Man?
Yeah. That one's pretty funny.
So, I'm pretty excited about that, too. We got all these old school, you know.
Well, yeah. Andre, a black nerd, on his YouTube was talking about how it was like, when they introduced Pac-Man, they did a really interesting thing where they had Mario as the red, Sonic as the blue, or Mega Man, Sonic as the blue, and then Pac-Man coming out as the yellow. And you have some of the original, like, godfathers or grandfathers of gaming all in one game. Like, they've never all been in one game together before.
I think it's cool.
You know, because what is it? Pac-Man is 81.
Yeah, Pac-Man.
And then, I think, was it Donkey Kong 82?
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe,
and if Game & Watch comes back, he's going to be another one.
Yeah, Mega Man is 84, or I think he's 84, 85.
Yeah, because his 25th just passed not too long ago.
Yeah, something like that. Sonic is the most relatively young out of all the characters, being like, what, 89, 91, something like that?
Something like that. He didn't come out until Sega Genesis came out.
Yeah. But the point is, like, you have some, like, the big, like, you know, like, founding fathers of these, like, you know, consoles.
Yeah.
Which is really nuts. And they even showed some of Pac-Man's fighting, which I thought was interesting, that, you know, he even uses the ghosts to do things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he throws them or something like that.
That's weird.
Cool. And then he does the, like, as an attack. Then they even showed a video for Mega Man's fighting style. And
okay.
what they showed was, they showed all the different like Buster moves that he has, and from which Mega Man games they come from.
All right.
So like, he has like Strong Hand, Flame Sword, Leaf Shield.
Yeah.
You know, all these different. And they even showed his final smash.
Leaf Shield was two.
Huh?
I'm sorry. Tangent. Leaf Shield was number two. Yeah. Sorry.
Then they showed his final smash, which is like he brings out all the different Mega Man incarnations, and they all shoot you with a giant like charged up Buster.
That is awesome.
So it's like Mega Man, Mega Man X, Mega Man, like, Network, or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking what would be really awesome is either Proto Man or Zero was a alternate character.
Yeah. You know what? Like, that's one of the very few times where I would actually be really okay with Zero.
Mm-hmm. Because he plays very differently. I mean,
he's a completely different character.
Yeah, so he has his little Buster Sword. instead of the blaster.
I mean, he can still use a blaster, but he primarily relies on the sword.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is still really cool.
Yeah, that is true. So, you know, like, because of, like, copyright and differences, I don't think they would include him.
I think they could. It's still Capcom.
We'll see.
I mean, Capcom makes the game.
Yeah. I think, well, just knowing that, you know, they don't want to have a conflict of interests, especially with Nintendo being so protective of, you know, their games and having being played on their console, I think it would be more likely to see either Proto Man or Bass.
Yeah. But like I said, like, Zero is still a Capcom character, and it's like, you know, I don't see, like, if Capcom is willing to, like, hey, you can use Mega Man, why they wouldn't say, like, use Zero as well.
We'll see.
But, I mean, at the very least, I would love to see at least, like, an alternate costume where it's, like, they don't say that it's Proto Man, but it's Proto Man.
Yeah.
Kind of like how when they released Mega Man 9, and it was, like, if you got the DLC, like, alternate, like, suit, you got to play as Proto Man, basically. The other thing they talked about was some Legend of Zelda news.
Oh, yeah, the new Legend of Zelda is coming out. And they showed a little clip of, like, the combat.
Yeah.
And it drove the internet nuts in speculation.
Yeah, because apparently they thought, oh, hey, it's a Legend of Zelda game that's actually, we play as Zelda. Which wasn't the case.
Which I was really disappointed for. And the reason they thought this was because of the character that they showed. They never specifically said it was Link.
Yeah.
And you actually don't hear the character speak or make any noises. And so no, and it was this very Link and Zelda and all those characters are already pretty androgynous as it is.
Yeah.
And so they had a very effeminate looking character shooting a bow right-handed.
Yeah.
So people, especially on Tumblr, as Mondo and I were discussing earlier, were absolutely going nuts because they thought, oh my gosh, we're getting a Legend of Zelda game that's actually starring Zelda because Zelda shoots her bows right-handed.
Yeah.
Link is left-handed historically throughout the series, except for the most recent games because of the control scheme.
Well, you know what? Wasn't it like, what's the most recent Legend of Zelda game? Twilight Princess?
No. It is Skyward Sword.
Okay, before Skyward Sword. Twilight Princess, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Twilight Princess, the GameCube version, he is left-handed.
Well, that's the GameCube version.
Yeah, but they changed it to right hand because of the
motion controls for the Wii, and they did the same thing with Skyward Sword. He was right handed in Skyward Sword, or left handed right handed in Skyward Sword because of motion controls.
Yeah,
but I guess in this one's also gonna have motion controls. Why else would he be right handed again?
Yeah.
So, it's a little bit disappointing that we're not getting a Legend of Zelda game starring Zelda, which I think would be really cool. It might add a lot of kind of break that whole damsel thing, because the only time Zelda has not been, you know, the damsel needing rescuing or, you know, needing some kind of saving is when she was one Tetra from Wind Waker. And as soon as she became Zelda, she realized that she was a reincarnation of Zelda. She went from being like, I'm a badass pirate captain too. Yeah. Oh no, my dainty pirate ankles.
Yeah.
Please, Link, save me. And then when she's Sheik.
No, that I mean, you have to understand, even I wouldn't even count either of those because she still is a damsel. The minute she reveals who she is, she gets captured. Dude, yeah. Legend is Ocarina of Time. The minute she goes, oh, by the way, I'm secretly the princess, Ganon's like,
That's true. Well, I'm saying this is her alternate, you know, personas.
It doesn't matter, though. At the end of the day, it's still the same person. Like,
okay.
Like, it's if at any point you be captured and you have to be rescued, you're still a damsel.
Yeah.
In fact, that only reinforces it because it's like, hey, like, if they dress up like as a man, then they're strong. The minute they reveal they're actually a woman, they're weak.
Yeah, this is true. But yeah, I would actually love to see an actual Legend of Zelda game starring Zelda, where she is the hero and she's rescuing Link.
Speaking of all this sexism and feminism, lack of proper, like, you know, female representation in video games, Ubisoft did a dum-dum.
Yeah, so one of the big things that came out here, and we're not going to try and dwell on it or get too big into the details of it because it's just been covered to death. Twitter was all in a fervor over it, and so was Tumblr. But one of the creative directors on the new Assassin's Creed game spoke that basically was quoted saying that there was supposed to be a female playable character in the new Assassin's Creed game, and that she was taken out at the last minute because it would have required so much more work on their part to include a female character.
Yeah.
And I looked into it, and I read a lot about it, and he actually wrote a follow-up article himself. He took it upon himself to talk to, I think, it was either Kotaku or Polygon. I forget which. Yeah. I really got to source my crap better.
You do, especially with shit like this.
Yes. But he went on the record and said that it wasn't, he misspoke and that it wasn't a female character specifically, but another character in general. Like any other character, male or female, that they would have included into the game, they would have had to mocap a completely new animations for, go and voice act completely new things for, and that they just didn't have the time nor the budget to do any new characters. And that he made a mistake and misspoke, specifically pointing out a female character. I'm not sure how much of that is PR spin. Yeah. You know, someone at Ubisoft PR department pulled him aside and smacked him around a little bit and said, okay, now get out there and say what I told you to say.
Yeah.
But it kind of sucks because I think...
Whether that is PR spin or a legitimate problem, it still sucks no matter how you look at it, because that Ubisoft is still saying, hey, we don't feel like making the time and effort to give you a female character.
This is true.
You know, like whether, you know, even if it is time consuming, you're even saying you're not worth the time. You're saying a good portion of your, you know, customers, the demographic you're trying to appeal to aren't worth your time.
Yeah. Especially since historically one of the greatest assassins during the French Revolution, which is the setting for this iteration of the franchise, was a woman.
Yeah. Which is how they kind of dropped the ball again.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of, you know, really them not, I feel like, doing things. I mean, they can do things however they want. You know, they're a company. But I felt like in order to really appease, like, the fan base as a whole, they could have done things a lot better.
Yeah. What I think it is, it's like, it's kind of them resting on their laurels.
Yeah.
It's because the most recent Assassin's Creed game, which was kind of an offshoot, and it didn't get a lot of press, it didn't get a lot of play, was Liberation. Uh-huh. And it took place in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And it starred a female black assassin.
Yeah.
But it did not get nearly as much attention and marketing as any of the other Assassin's Creed franchises. And Ubisoft is really, you know, eager to point out that, hey, the first character in the franchise was Muslim. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a Native American. We had someone who was from Trinidad. You guys, come on. So they were really quick to point out, like, hey, you know, we're diverse. But it's not enough, at least in my opinion, to kind of say, well, look, I did the thing. I did the diverse thing. It's about continuing that forward and kind of carrying that
trend. Like, but I do the thing there last week. And now this week, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it kind of, it sucks because it's really weird. Being someone who's not really represented in a lot of different media, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm this Mexican dude, and it's like, I play a video game or a comic or turn on the TV, and I'm like, I'm not there, you know?
Yeah.
And the times I'm there, it's usually Univision.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, like I said, a lot of us, if you're not like a straight white dude, you're having trouble in representation, so this is like one of the times we want to highlight, like, you know, like, all the lady gamers out there, you know? Like, just keep pushing, like, the right buttons. You know, if someone, you know, it's like, what is it, the squeaky wheel is the one who gets the grease, or how does it go? You know, like, even if, like, you know, people, like, are, you know, fedora tippers are getting on your case, fuck them, just keep pushing hard until you get what is deserved, or I don't want to say owed, but you get what you deserve.
No, get the representation that is needed.
That is needed, that you seek, that you want, that you should have.
Yeah.
Mondo talk dumb. Mondo make mistakes.
But in that same vein, also this E3 tied into Ubisoft and this whole debate of diversity and representation in video games and in culture in general. Aisha Tyler went on the record with NPR to talk about diversity in video games. And you can go on NPR's website and look at the article that they posted and the interview that she did with them. And how this ties into Ubisoft is Aisha Tyler has actually hosted Ubisoft's press conference at E3 for the last 3 years running.
Yeah.
So
she's a really good speaker.
Yeah, she is. She actually is amazing. And she went on the record with NPR, and she felt that her views and her opinions were misrepresented by NPR.
Yeah.
That they truncated the interview and edited it in the article to not really express how she truly felt.
Yeah.
And she went on Facebook and she went on Twitter and all her other social media sites, and she posted a blog talking about diversity in video games. And her general view was, okay, guys, yes, it's bad. Yes, we need more diversity and more representation of minorities in video games. But let's give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
Was the general message that I got out of it. She brought up Lara Croft being a strong female character. She brought up Dominic Santiago being a strong Latino character in a video game. She brought up, oh man, so many others. Brought up a lot of the Assassin's Creed characters.
The best way to look at it is you said, hey, it's bad, but it used to be worse, and it's improved, and despite it not being where it should be or where we want it to be, it is moving.
Yes.
You know, and the only way it's going to move is if you are vocal, mm-hmm. not only just on the internet with, hashtags or blog posts or even podcasts like these, but also being vocal with how you spend.
Yes.
You know, because if there's a collective effort, for like say this next Assassin's Creed, if like a bunch of people all band together and say, hey, you know what, we're not going to buy it. And the results show that it sells less than the last couple ones. And I'd be like, hey, we took a hit because we were jerks and didn't want to include a female character or what have you. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should think about things better. And I know sometimes it sounds kind of horrible to think of like your rights or representation being based solely like on how much money something can bring in, but that's kind of how it works sometimes.
A lot of these kinds of decisions are not made by the creative types that work for these companies historically. They're made by the suits who give these people the money. Kevin Spacey actually gave a really good speech about this kind of thing, and he geared it towards television because he was at the Edinburgh Television Festival or something like that, and he geared it towards television. But it goes through all mediums where people are going to gravitate to good pieces of art, and that the suit types that kind of give the money to the creative types need to be willing to take risks, and they need to be willing to put their money on the long shot sometimes because that's what's going to pay off.
Yeah.
So that's that.
You're like blah 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 and quiet. No. But I think that really kind of covers the gamut of what we want to talk to about this past week as far as news goes. Some cool movies came out this weekend. Didn't really get a chance to see them. It was 22 Jump Street and How to Train Your Dragon 2, both sequels. Mm-hmm. I actually do want to see both. I've already seen 22 Jump Street, and now I can legally talk about it. I actually signed a non-disclosure act when I saw an advanced screening of it in April, saying I wouldn't talk about the movie before its release. Mm-hmm. But now that it's out, I can say whatever I want. And it was funny because everything I had to say was positive, but they just don't want you to spoil it or leak anything online. So they make you sign a contractual agreement. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll see if we can't watch it and go into a more in-depth discussion. But it was a great movie. I feel like it surpassed the original by far, mm-hmm. And I think the best parts about it is where they, like, reference, they do, like, really good callbacks or, like, just, references to the first movie.
Oh, okay.
You see this in the trailer, but it's really funny what happens in the first sequence is they mess a drug bust up.
Yeah.
And what's his face? Forget what the actual officer's name is.
Schmidt and
Jacob. No. Like the guy played by Ron Swanson.
Oh, the sergeant. I forget the
sergeant.
His name.
It's funny because I always know his name and now I forgot it. I usually
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman, whatever. He says you failed because you didn't do the same thing you did first time.
Yeah.
And so they do a lot of little things like that where mm-hmm. you're kind of just like, but it's done in such a self-aware fashion. Like they're not doing it and like thinking, hey, like these people are dumb enough to fall for it twice, but they do it in a way to be like, hey, a lot of sequels do this, but the fact that we're being self-referential makes it meta instead of stale.
Yeah.
And it works really well. Like, I feel like they, like, the director and writing team really were able to craft that, those little jokes, like, perfectly. Mm-hmm. And, so I say go see. As far as How to Train Your Dragon 2, I really couldn't say anything. It's been a while since I saw the first one, but I remember the first one being really great. The Writers of Berk TV show was kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. One Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Well, Rotten Tomatoes, it's like a 92 as of right now, mm-hmm. Opening weekend. So we'll see. We'll make plans. We might go to the drive-in again.
Yeah. I doubt those will be in a double feature.
This is true.
I mean, that... there's some individuals besides us who'd be interested into that, but I just not enough. I feel like, you know, if you have to lead with How to Train Your Dragon too, so yeah. all the families could clear out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you're the other way around, it's like, yay, we're gonna watch How to Train Your Dragon too, and they're like, yo, I'm Ice Cube, fuck you, suck my dick. You know?
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, maybe we'll watch those and give a quick, like, hey, this is what we thought of it. And if not, well, who knows? Yeah. We'll watch some. I feel like we haven't watched a movie in a while, and that's kind of what started this first episode, like this series.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if we can watch a movie and do some thoughts on it.
All
right. Ideally, be one of those two, if not both of those. But if not, we'll see what else is coming out, you know?
This is true.
And with that, we bid you a farewell. Sorry if we rambled a little bit, but we didn't really... This episode was kind of put together last minute, and I just got off work, so I didn't get a chance to do as much collective note-taking and writing down the script as I usually do.
MemoCast, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. And behind this nice iced tea, brought to you by Baker's. Great food close to home since 1952.
Thank you, Baker's.
Sponsor us, please. I'm willing to be paid in fries.
I love Baker's. Baker's is amazing.
Yes, it is. For all people who don't live in the IA, like, what the fuck is Baker's?
Baker's is a twin kitchen, only in San Bernardino and Riverside County.
America's first twin kitchen,
yes.
No less.
So they're amazing. It's like Del Taco, too.
Yeah.
No one outside of California knows what the hell Del Taco is.
No, Del Taco's in Arizona, Nevada.
Okay, maybe the West Coast and the Southwest.
I was about to start naming stuff on the East Coast. No.
North Carolina.
South Carolina. Not West Virginia. Regular Virginia.
Regular Virginia.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you guys for listening once again. We will be back next week with episode 7. And once again, thank you for listening.
I was going to say, episode 7, The Injury of Harrison Ford.
Yes.
We didn't even talk about that.
We did. Well, that's next episode.
No, we'll make a brief mention to it now. So apparently during filming, Harrison Ford injured himself.
Oh, wow.
And he even, like, made a meme out of it. Like, he, or someone else made a meme out of it, but I think it was him. So it's him holding a sign, can do the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, can't open a door, or something like that.
Oh, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he's getting old at 70.
Yeah. He's old man.
And now with that, we say farewell.
Bye, guys.